Thank you, Mitch. Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. For those of you that may have missed where we are right now, we are in the book of Proverbs and have been spending several months, especially in the first nine chapters, where Solomon, King Solomon, has compiled many of his Proverbs to teach his son how to live. And we've already seen that the Proverbs are inspired by God's Holy Spirit. They are the Word of God. Secondly, they are based upon the Ten Commandments. Every proverb is in perfect harmony with all Ten Commandments, and they are the base of the morality of God, the proverbs being the outworking of how those commandments work in our lives. How do we relate to each other? Who is a wise man? Who is a foolish man? Who is a wise woman? Who's a foolish woman? How do they live? How do they think? And not only that, but number three, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every proverb. If you want to know how he thought and what was his thinking and morality and what he thought about when he related to other people, the proverbs were in his mind. And he never contradicted a single one of them. And so when we look at his life in the Gospels of the New Testament, we see a man who was perfectly wise. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Paul said. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a man who studied the Proverbs. God's Spirit reminded him of the Proverbs as he lived each day. And the love and the grace and the mercy and the conviction and the truth that we see in his life is a man who walked according to the Proverbs. So Proverbs are for Christians. They're for us to learn, to think about, to learn how to live ourselves and how to understand how others are living. And so for the past few weeks we've been looking at how there are wise and there are foolish men and women, and in particular we looked at how there are foolish women that young men should avoid and godly women, wise women, that they should seek to know. And now we are on the time where we're teaching young women how to recognize a good man and a foolish man. Last week we looked at the good man who follows the Proverbs, that he loves God, he loves his neighbor as himself, he's unselfish, he is kind. In fact, we said, what is desirable, Proverbs 19:22, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. And that's what young women need to understand, that God's given you keys and directions and how to recognize a good man. But today, we follow up that message with how to recognize a foolish man. It's not always easy to recognize a foolish man, because some men pretend to be wise and good in order to gain the affections of a woman. So today we're looking at a foolish man and how you can tell. And it's also a lesson to young men how you should not be. You should not think this way as a foolish man. You should not live this way as a foolish man. It's also a lesson for parents in what to teach their sons and daughters about wisdom and foolishness, so that they can grow up learning to be wise in the ways of God, in the direction of God. So there's lessons for everyone here this morning, not just for the young women. Nevertheless, we are looking at the foolish man and how to recognize him. Proverbs 9, verse 1 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She's mixed her wine. She also has set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city, "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here." To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." We've been looking at verse 6. Forsake your folly, your foolishness, and live. Live unto God, and proceed in the way of understanding. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would help us to understand the wisdom of Proverbs, to guide old and young here this morning. Especially we pray for the young men and women of this congregation, that you would protect them from the evil one and his desires to entrap them in sin and sorrow, that you would protect them from selfish desires which bring great trouble in their life and sorrow. And rather, we pray that you would help them to flee to you, Lord Jesus, and see in you a trustworthy Savior whose words are perfect to guide them. Pray that you would help them to bow the knee to you, Lord, and be saved by your grace, your undeserved mercy, and then to be helped by your words and your spirit to live for your glory. Help them, dear Lord, and save them all, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. Kindness is a major mark of a godly man, and it is something that stands out in America today because so many young men are not kind. So many are crude. Self-centered, uncontrollable, obsessed with their own life, their vehicles, their music, their sports, their electronics, pornography, young women. Job said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a virgin." And what he meant by that is not that he doesn't see other women, particularly young women who are virgins awaiting marriage, but he did not look at them in the way young men in America often look at women, to check them out from head to toe, to be unable to look them in the eyes a person instead. But you can tell things about young men in the way they look at you, what they're obsessed about. Young men in America are often full of anger if they don't get their way. And it's really hard to find a truly Christ-like young man in our country, full of kindness toward all women, more thoughtful of them than himself in the way he treats his mother, his sisters, his friends. It's a rare thing, but it's also a wonderful thing to find such a man like Jesus Christ. And yet, one of the great mysteries to life, and really to my life, I guess, is why a young woman would marry an unkind man. Yet it happens every day. There is a woman that Debbie and I have known most of our life. I'll call her Chrissy. Chrissy was a homecoming queen, a majorette, one of the most popular young women in school, high school. Intelligent, good student, a professing Christian who went to church and joined the Christian organizations. She went to college and became a majorette. And in college, she married her high school sweetheart, who was the drum major. And later, he became the mayor of her hometown. Chrissy is now divorced. That's not her real name. And for a living, she sells hot dogs at a hot dog stand downtown. Alone, trying to make a living. How did she get to that point? What happened to Chrissy? Well, she loved her high school drum major, though he was not a Christian. He was a very attractive man, young man, very enjoyable to be around. But he was an angry young man. And he also had an eye for other girls. And in the process of time, Chrissy compromised her Christian convictions with him and lost her virtue with him. And then he treated her unkindly and unfaithfully because he lost respect for her. But she could not get over him. She was bound to him by those affections she had committed to him. One day, when she was in college, he asked her to marry him. At that time, she came to visit us and ask us for advice. Since he was not a Christian, we advised her to break it off, for Christians are only to marry in the Lord. But she married him, convinced that with her love and dedication, she could change him into the man she knew he had the potential to be. But he changed her. She quit going to church. She became involved in the party scene with him. After a few years, after he became mayor of the town, he had affairs, and he divorced her. And she was so devastated, instead of turning to the Lord for her strength, she turned to alcohol and drugs and the party scene and lived a profligate life for many years. Only in the past few years has she turned from that. And now the only thing she can really do to make a living is sell hot dogs from a street stand in her hometown as the former mayor's wife. Now we can point to the sin of this man all day long and bring condemnation. But the truth is that Chrissy brought this upon herself, because she would not listen to God's word. And the book of Proverbs, young women, is given to help you discern who is that foolish kind of man who will destroy your life and bring you great sorrow and unhappiness, versus the man who is unselfish and good, a man whose desire is to bring self-denial and sacrifice and blessing into the life of a young woman. Why do women do this to themselves, I ask at times? Well, I think there are two possible reasons for this. First, young women have a motherly instinct. They want to comfort the unhappy child. You can see it in the young women and the young girls when they take care of the children at the church and in other places. They have a natural attachment to children. They have a concern and a sympathy for them. And as a result, they think that they can help this immature young man who has faults. They can help him. They can comfort him. They can fix him. The problem is young men know that. And they have learned how to play on the sympathies of young women, acting sorrowful and sad to get comfort, acting hurt and angry at what they've experienced to get empathy. And suddenly, a young woman's emotions are entwined with a young man who is being deceitful to manipulate them to his own lust and desires. Second, some young men would choose an unkind man over a kind man for this reason. They are afraid of marrying a good man. Now, what would pass through a young woman's mind to make her afraid of marrying a really good man? Well, they may be afraid they'll not measure up to a really godly man, someone they really respect as a follower of Christ, that they will not be a good enough wife for him, and instead of trying and failing, it's better not to try. Or they're afraid that the godly man will be disappointed with her, because after all, he's more godly than she is, and all these sins in her thoughts that he doesn't know about, he'll find out one day and reject her. So it's better not to risk it. Or perhaps they feel so guilty from their past sinfulness. Sometimes with him, where their emotions have been so bound up in him in sinful behavior, that they are willing to settle with a sinful man because they feel more comfortable with a sinful man. Or they may have been so damaged in the past by things done to them, said to them, that they feel in some way damaged and not worthy of a good man. So they settle for a lesser man who promises he will change, who promises things that he does not deliver. But soon after marriage, they find that they married, after all, an unkind man. And now she finds out how deeply unkind he really is, with all of the restraints removed. Now she is married too late to an unkind man. But there's hope for young women. If they will listen to God, not to their peers and friends who are ignorant of God's truth and wisdom, if they will come to Jesus Christ and believe that He is the Son of God who loved them enough to die for them, they can trust His wisdom to guide them and His words to help them to find in this life joy. He said, "I came that they might have life," that is his followers, "and that they might have it abundantly." And at some point, a young woman has to make that decision, whether she's going to trust herself or her friends or a fallible young man or Jesus Christ. And her whole life hangs in the balance. Who are you going to trust? Only God can change a young man's heart. You can't. Only a young man who loves God and loves Jesus Christ can overcome his natural selfishness and learn how to love as a good man loves. And to think you can make him change or to settle because you don't deserve a good man is actually to turn away from Christ and His instructions for you and the consequences will follow, sadly. When you come to Jesus Christ, young women and young men, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. When you are baptized in His name because you have faith in Him, you die to your old life and are raised to walk in newness of life so that you can start over. Paul said to the Corinthians, I have betrothed you as a pure virgin to Jesus Christ, showing how they had started over in spite of their past sinfulness, with their sins washed away, cleansed by the blood of Christ, accepted as a new child of God with a new life before them. It's not too late to begin again. Don't settle for a foolish, unkind man. Believe in God's undeserved grace and that He delights to give good gifts to His redeemed daughters. The good gifts of a man who knows how to love because he has found Jesus Christ. It's about faith, your faith. And the decisions that you make in trust of Christ and His truth versus your fears and your feelings and your friends. No one else will marry this young man but you. And no one else can guide you safely but Jesus Christ. We study the character and attributes of a foolish man in Proverbs, and we find, young women, that it's very easy to recognize a foolish man. Did you know that it really is easy? Because according to the Bible, they're all foolish to begin with. It's not about, how do I tell if this guy is a foolish man or a wise man? You assume he's a foolish man unless he loves Jesus Christ as the great love of his life and is seeking to carve out a life for the glory of God. If he's not that, he is the other. David said, in sin my mother conceived me. Paul said, the natural man does not understand the things of the Lord. All men are foolish by nature until God changes their hearts, and that's what you're looking for. The exception, the young man who is a Christian, who stands out from the others because he is kind, because he loves others more than himself, because he honors his parents as God wants him to, and he honors you instead of using you for his own desires. It takes the power of God to make a young man that way. And though he may pretend to be that way for a while to gain your affections, sooner or later it will be seen if you'll wait. So this morning I want to describe a few characteristics of a foolish man as distinguished from a good man. In Proverbs, beautiful Proverbs, the woman who personifies the wisdom of God says in verse 6 to men and to young women, forsake your foolishness and live. Turn away from foolishness and foolish people and live and follow God's will. Now, the first characteristic of the foolish man I want to mention to you this morning is to recognize that he is an angry man. If the good man, the wise man, if what is desirable in him is his kindness, then what marks a foolish man is sinful anger. The Proverbs are full of warnings to young men not to go around with angry young men, as well as to young women not to associate with an angry man. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. If he's an angry young man, you can know he's going to stir up strife in your life sooner or later. And if he's hot-tempered, he flashes and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to flash that way. Can't help it, just the way I am, but I get over it real quickly." It doesn't say if he's a hot-tempered man who gets over it real quickly, it's okay. If he's a hot-tempered man, he abounds in transgression. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. Proverbs 22:24. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, see, there's this tenderness in women, this compassion, this sympathy. It wants to rescue an unhappy, angry young man. He's unhappy. Proverbs says, A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. There couldn't be a greater or more clear warning to both young men and young women to avoid going with an angry man, lest you learn his ways and be trapped in his snares. Young women, an angry man is only concerned for himself, not others. That's why he's angry. James said in James chapter 4 that the reason for quarrels that exist among people and anger is that you desire and you do not get, so you commit murder. You want something, you do not receive it, so you become angry. Anger is rooted in selfishness, the great sin of all, self-rule, rebellion against God, a refusal to submit to his way of living, to love others instead of yourself. And anger is just the symptom, like pain is to the disease, that there's something wrong with that young man's heart. And he can go to church and he can read his Bible and pray all he wants to, but if he is an angry young man, do not associate with him. After marriage, the anger that he's had to entwine you into his emotions and his care, you sympathize with him. "I'm sorry your boss treated you so bad today. I'm sorry your parents are so mean. I'm sorry your pastor doesn't know how to listen, how to teach you anything, and doesn't sympathize with you in your sorrows. I'm so sorry." After marriage, he turns all that anger toward you. And the result will be misery. But you're stuck, because you chose him to be your husband. Listen to God's word. The Lord Jesus had to die upon the cross to suffer the wrath of God against the sin of anger. That's how much God hates it. He was willing to punish his own son, who took our anger upon him as if he was the angry one. That crucifixion of Jesus, that pouring out of God's wrath, shows you how much God hates it. But it also shows you how much God will forgive those who repent of their anger, young men and young women, and come to Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins and learn what forgiveness is at the feet of such a gracious God, so that you can forgive others instead of hate them. You can speak kindly instead of attack them. You can overcome evil with good in Jesus Christ. Young women, do not associate with an angry man, for he's a foolish man. Run. Do not try to fix. Run till God fixes him. The second characteristic of a foolish man in Proverbs is his selfishness. Now, we are all by nature selfish. Sin is selfishness. Sin is self-rule, self-centeredness, self. And I know you get tired of me using the word self sometimes. But maybe when we all fully understand how selfish sin really is, I'll quit using it, including myself. It's life lived for self instead of loving God with all your heart, no room there for self-interest, and loving your neighbor as yourself, loving your neighbor as if they were yourself. Again, look at Jesus Christ and see the unselfish man who had nowhere to lay his head, though he created the universe, who let his arms be nailed to a tree and his feet by creatures that he created in their mother's wombs, because this is the only way he could provide redemption for them. Not yours. He does not love his neighbor as himself. He's not really thinking about his neighbor except to use him to fulfill his own desires. He is covetous. He is complaining. He's always thinking about what he wants in life and how he can get it for himself. He obsesses on material things, and he can't be happy till he gets them. He obsesses upon friendships and young women, and he cannot be happy till he gets them. He is self-absorbed. He talks about himself. He does not think about the condition of others. He has no empathy or sympathy with the sorrows of others. He is covetous and always wanting his own way and his desires fulfilled. He does not think ahead of you and what is good for you and what is best for you. He thinks about what is best for him. And if you think you can change him, your great sorrow will be that after your marriage, you will have to submit yourself to a selfish man. And you're stuck. The unhappiness of such women over the 40 years now. Is that right? Yes, almost 40 years I've been trying to minister to people. Debbie and I have seen such sadness in women that it grieves us, and we still pray for many of our dear friends in those situations. But when you marry such a selfish man, a foolish man, who's concerned for his desires and not sensitive or thinking ahead of your concerns and needs, when you marry him and say, "I do till death do us part," God holds you accountable for that, lest he should divorce you or betray you. The third characteristic of a foolish man is that he's prideful and arrogant. He will not listen to good counsel. He thinks he's right, that everyone else is stupid. He is critical of others, unsympathetic of others' situation, and boastful of his accomplishments. He has a favorite word in his vocabulary. Actually, two. I and me. Count how many times he uses it in a sentence or paragraph, and you might learn a lot about his heart. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 49:20. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So does this young man listen? Does he listen to the wise around him, his parents, or is he always talking them down? Does he think his teachers are foolish and ignorant? Does he make fun of his pastor who teaches the Word of God and calls him to be a godly man? Does he always criticize his boss at work and how he is mistreated? Does he listen to you? Or when you give your opinion of things, does he demean your opinions? And when you're trying to talk, does he interrupt you and correct you so that you can't even finish your own ideas? See, that's a prideful man. That's a self-ruled man, a sinful man, an insensitive man. Is he always right in his own eyes and has strong opinions and is unafraid to express them? Well, sadly, some young women interpret that to be a strong man who can lead them. He's got a forceful personality. He's concerned with what's right and wrong. And he seems to be wiser than I am. At least he tells me so. Therefore, I think I will marry this young man as a strong leader. And what she doesn't understand, because she doesn't read Proverbs and doesn't look to the Word of God to guide her, is that she's just married a foolish man that will make her days miserable. For if he will not listen to you before marriage, what makes you think he'll listen to you afterward, when you're fully under his authority? Only God can change a sinner's heart. You can't. Do not allow yourself to become infatuated with a proud man who will not listen to you, nor listen to those God has ordained to be in his life to guide him. Because if you do, you will live in great sorrow, and you will expose your future children to such a father. Fourth, a foolish man is ungodly in his speech. He uses his words to manipulate, to deceive, to bear false witness, to deceive others with his words to get his way. He may even pretend to be kind, to use flattery, to flatter your parents when he's with them in order to get their trust and affections with you, to flatter you and tell you how you have been misunderstood by others, how your parents don't understand what a wonderful person you are, and how your teachers don't understand that you're really trying, and how your friends have mistreated you, but he never will. And he uses flattery and deceit to engage your emotions and to intertwine them with him, all with the design to entrap you in his affections and his personal desires. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. That's how you tell. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A worthless man. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for him than a fool. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Do you see a man, Proverbs 29:20, who is hasty with his words? There's more hope for him than a fool. I could just, for an hour, go with Proverbs like this, just quoting them one right after the other. There are plenty there to guide young women to avoid a man who uses his words to sin against them, ungodly in his speech, destroying the reputation of others, digging up evil, criticizing others, always pointing out the faults of others so that perhaps people will not see how many faults he has. Do not be deceived. The Lord Jesus said, out of the heart the mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth shows what is in the heart. You can't look into the heart of a man, but you can look into his mouth, and they always go together. So listen to the words of a man. Just the last two real quickly. Foolish man does not accept correction. Proverbs 9:8 says, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. A foolish man will not accept correction from his parents, his teachers, his boss, or his pastors. And if you try to correct them, try to correct him, he may feign to accept your correction in order to get into your graces and affections. But listen and find out how he utterly argues himself around your correction and justifies his own behavior. He will not listen to you. Reprove a scoffer and he will hate you. Does he scoff at others' advice? Does he admit his faults, or does he justify his faults before you? Does he listen to you and accept your corrections? If he scoffs at others who try to instruct him before marriage, what makes you think he will listen to you after marriage? Many women, sadly, have married a man who will not listen to them, who doesn't even want to hear their opinion, who never ask their opinion. Yet they are supposed to be one flesh, heart of each other's heart, joint heirs of life together, bound together as one. But a wise man loves those who reprove him for wrong, for his desire is to please the Lord and to love others who help him to become a more godly man. Do not associate with a scoffer. And finally, a foolish man, run from. You know the interesting thing about lazy, foolish men? Is that if you sit down and talk with them, they always have a reason why they're lazy. It starts very young. Johnny, why didn't you clean your room like I told you? Well, I stubbed my toe and I was trying to rub it, or my brother came and he threw something at me and I had to chase him down, or I forgot. That's one of my favorites. I forgot. No. You did not remember. You did not care enough about my directions and me as your mother or father to honor me and obey me. I forgot is a spanking offense, as well as a rebuke offense. A lazy man does not honor his boss. He's lazy in his schoolwork. He does not keep his promises. He talks a lot, but he never does anything. Proverbs 19:1, laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Do you want to hunger yourself? Then go with a lazy man. Proverbs 10:26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. I didn't try this morning and gargle with vinegar to see how it felt, but I don't want to, so you figure it out. But I know what smoke in the eyes is when you're over a fire and trying to make it burn. And then the wind blows just right in your eyes. It's irritating. And you have to rub them and you get water and you wash them out. But you see, you can't wash out the laziness of a man you marry. I have a friend who will not allow a young man to even court one of his daughters for marriage unless he has saved up $10,000. Now you might say, especially you young men, where's that in the Bible? That's ridiculous. $10,000? Well, you can't find a verse for that. But he's just making sure that his daughter doesn't marry a lazy man. That she marries a man who has proven his faithfulness, who is self-controlled and doesn't spend money as soon as it comes in his pocket. A man who is so considerate of others, particularly the young woman he wishes to court, that he denies himself clothes and cars and whatever it is to have a fund that brings safety and security to her when they marry. And my friend just wants to make sure that his daughter marries a man who is ready to support her when they marry, rather than living off of her income Now, I know that there are times in college and education, in those early years, there may have to be some of that, sharing the load, but not when children come. Not when those days where God commands a mother to love her husband and love her children and invest in them come. There's got to be a young man who's thought ahead. If he hadn't thought ahead for you and your children, there's something wrong. Do not associate with a lazy man. It will become like smoke in your eyes and thorns in your flesh. So I've listed about six characteristics from Proverbs about the foolish man that you can filter in your mind as you get to know other and watch other young men. The thing that is often a discouragement to young women is that it's hard to find such a man. And in fact, sometimes young women say, there's not a man like that. I don't know him. Well, now let's be realistic. Where do you live? You live in a small town, a couple of thousand people, a small parish, maybe 20 or 25,000. There's millions of people in the world. And every day, Jesus Christ is building his church. Every day, he is opening the hearts of young men and women to follow him, to be changed by his grace, to learn how to love God with all their heart, and to love their neighbor as themselves, and be freed from the chains of selfishness to find the joy that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Every day that's happening. Can the God who opened your heart to find a precious Savior not lead you into the paths of a young man or a young woman who loved the same Savior in his time? Or does it have to be your time? Your way. One of the fundamental truths about becoming a Christian is that you not only depend on the Lord Jesus Christ to atone for your sins and wash them away and grant you the gift of eternal life and forgiveness, but you come to him and trust in him to lead you. That's what the word disciple means, a learner, a follower. And I call you young women particularly, follow the word of God. Follow Jesus Christ. What does he have to prove that he's more trustworthy than any young man you will ever know? Look at the cross and see his trustworthiness, his good intentions, the depth of his love for you already, and that he is preparing a place for you. And if he's preparing a place for you, he will come again and gather you to himself, that where you are, he shall be also. And you sit down together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you, his beautiful bride, having made herself ready, dressed in white linen, bright and clean, to celebrate with your bridegroom the new heavens and the new earth that he's made for you to dwell in with him. Can you not trust him over any man you've ever known to guide you? He never used women to fulfill his own selfish lust. He always gave respect to them and honor. He worked hard in the carpenter shop until he was 30 years old and knows what it is to sweat in the heat of Palestine, making things for others. And he loved others more than himself everywhere he went. And the multitude saw something in him that was not in themselves. And for a long time they followed him till they understood he would require them to sacrifice themselves for him. And then they were so selfish they quit following him. But such a man that is like Christ is recognizable. He stands head and shoulders above the natural men around us. He is not perfect, but he wants to love God with all his heart and seeks to. And he would never use you for his own selfish designs. Paul described two men in closing this morning: the foolish man and the wise man. And he described them this way. The foolish man looks like this. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a list that you can look at, Galatians 5:19. But then he described the wise man, who is like Jesus Christ, and he said it this way: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Find a man like that and be happy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you came into this world to restore us from the sadness of rebellion to the comfort and joy of finding the love and mercy of God again, and then finding on earth, even before heaven, a good measure of what it means to be restored to love. I pray for the young men and women of this congregation that you would give them the honesty and integrity to trust in you and become wise men and women, and then to trust your power and your wisdom to cross their paths with wise men and women at the right time. Help them to trust in you more than themselves, not only for heaven, but for today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wasn't that a good message? Can I tell a story about Millie? Sure. Millie is a very wonderful sister who got into her 20s, got a little bit older, didn't have a husband. Some think she's an old maid. She got into her 30s, and it's too late, right? No. There was a brother named Max, who was a Wycliffe translator in Germany, met Millie, married Millie, and they went and served the Lord together. And God had preserved him and her for each other. So trust the Lord. 469.